Ooh, I'm Donna. I'm an alcoholic. Whew, I'm nervous tonight, too. My sobriety date is September 17th, 1990. I'm from Lakeland, but I got sober in Tampa. And I moved over to Lakeland about 9 years ago. And I want to thank Blair for asking me to come speak. It's interesting. I think I spoke here a few years ago, but some of you I've known since you got sober, and it's really been interesting to watch you all grow up and grow in AA and get married and have children and all those normal things. Yeah, that's neat. I started drinking at 15. I had my best friend in high school. We decided to drink her father's homemade beer. Oh, God. And it wasn't quite ready. So the first time I drank, I puked a lot. And it was funny because I finally figured out not to puke after a while. But at 16, no, I was 15. I was still 15, and I got arrested on the causeway for possession of alcoholic beverages. And we had driven all over Tampa and St. Pete picking. I don't know. They served us. We were in bars. They threw us out of bars, not nice bars in Tampa. And they sold us beer at 7-Eleven. But we ended up on the causeway. We had all this beer, and I was taking. I was resting my eyes in the back seat. I was passed out. And when they was, we were on the Clearwater side, and so they took us to jail. And it's not really nice to have your father come pick you up, you know, and there's the bars there, and you're 15 years old, and your life has just ended. But they grounded me forever, and but I continued to drink. I my parents expected me to go to college, so I went to USF, and I was like a year, final academic warning. I just, you know, I had discovered booze, and it was like, oh, Lord, okay. So I dropped out, and worked various sundry jobs for quite a while, and my alcoholism progressed. I ended up with a lot of this stuff I hadn't thought about in years. I had two roommates who were bartenders. That's always a good thing. And I found out early I could not drink tequila very well. I remember one time I think I was drunk for 3 days. I crawled on my hands and knees up to a payphone. I know they don't have those anymore. And called in sick. But I have to admit, I had a good time in the beginning with my drinking. And, of course, I'm a product of the 60s, so there were some pharmaceuticals in there, and they were readily available. There was just lots of stuff. And I remember being in the bars, and people would hand you pills, and, you know, I was smart. I gave them to the bartender. I just wasn't quite sure, because some of them would, like, mix pills up and give it to you to see what happened to you. And, but I think I was about 27, and I decided I wanted to go back to school. So I called my parents. I had no sense of entitlement, of course. And I said, I'm ready to go back to school. Will you pay? And they did. So I moved back home. This is like I've been, you know, in the bars and partying for years. And I moved back home. And that lasted all of, I don't know, maybe 6 months. And it was during the height of the Vietnam War, and my mother was like, if I see you on TV, I'm going to, you know, cut off the money. And I was like, Mother, if you see me on TV, I'll have a helmet on because they're not going to smash my brains in. I mean, they were, and USF is an extremely conservative university. So I went back. I graduated, and for those 3 years, oh, I was also in therapy at the time for 3 years because I had anger management issues. Because I would get drunk and go to the bars and get in fights. I wasn't a stay-at-home drinker. But so I remember asking my therapist, I said, you know, how long do I have to see you? And she said, probably about 3 years. I went, oh, okay, okay. And she said, and you can't, when you go to registration, I know that's changed a lot then, but you just have to wait in line with your little card, and then you get up there and they close the class out, and so you'd have to rewrite your schedule. And she said, you cannot pull them across the table. And I said, why? And she said, because they won't let you register. I was like, okay, okay, I can't hurt them. So I had some anger management issue and some social skill issues. But I made it through 3 years of college. I really wanted that. And I graduated, and ended up working in mental health facilities. I worked at an apartment complex for retired people as an activities director.
Oh,
that was fun. But my drinking, it seemed like those 3 years, I didn't drink that much. I really didn't have the money. I worked part-time and went to school full-time. I'd buy a six-pack of beer on Friday nights, and me and the cat would watch TV and drink beer. But once I graduated, it was like I had a ticket to ride. And so I proceeded to drink, and my drinking escalated. But I still didn't see it as a problem. I ended up getting this job in adult education because I had a friend who, she was going for a PhD, and she said, "Do you want to work in adult education?" I said, "Yeah. What do you work, 20 hours a week, and you make a whole bunch of money, and you just drive around?" And she said, "Yeah." So she got me the job, and I ended up teaching basic English and basic math for adults. And I got offered a job. This is crazy. I mean, I think about all this. I've never put this on a resume. No one ever hired me. But I got offered a job in Spain. I was teaching English at Robinson High School at night, English as a foreign language. And that was fun because I said, you know, people get degrees to do this. I said, you have to give me an answer key because, you know, and I had like Korean and Thai and Japanese and Spanish. And I was like, we will speak English because I don't speak any of those languages. So I get this job in Barcelona, Spain. I go over there, and I don't know what I had in mind, what I thought Spain would be like, but in this country, they teach us Castilian Spanish. In Barcelona, they speak Catalan. So I wasn't understanding anything, and that was kind of disconcerting, but they drank. I liked the way they drank, and there was always a fiesta to celebrate. And I did get to go to Pamplona for the running of the bulls. I had always wanted to do that, you know, Hemingway and all that stuff. And we went up there. I went up there, luckily, with a Spaniard and an English couple. And we're sitting up in the... We went to a bullfight. Oh, God. And I didn't want to go to the bullfight, but everybody else wanted to go to the bullfight. So I'm sitting up there, and, of course, they have buckets of sangria they're passing around. And I liked that. That was kind of nice. But we're sitting there, the bull loses, and then these guys come out in the bull ring, and I thought it was just part of the show. And come to find out, it's a political demonstration. They're Basque, and they start coming up into the stands, and they're starting fights. So they call up the Guardia Civil and all the police, and I keep saying, "We haven't done anything wrong," and they're going, "Run." So I think I was left Spain in about two to three weeks later. I decided I didn't like that. So I came back, a little geographical change, and then I was back. I had owned a house in Tampa. I sold the house and moved to Atlanta because that seemed like a good idea. So I moved up to Atlanta and got into restaurant management because I like to eat out. And I'm serious. That was the logic. And I was with a company. We had like 12 restaurants in Atlanta. We had dinner house division and a coffee shop division. Of course, I had to go to dinner house division. And I loved Atlanta. It was a great place to party. And I did. I mean, it's a wonder that I survived that. I mean, you could just feel the energy of the city. And I have a cousin up there, and she did say to me, comment to me a few times, because we would go out, and she'd get drunk with me, and she never got drunk. And her husband said something to me about it one time, and she said, "You know, Donna, her father was an alcoholic." And let me say that in my family, I had one uncle who was an alcoholic. My parents very seldom drank; they didn't even keep much booze in the house. So it was not like a social thing that we did. So I'm in Atlanta for about 3 years, and when I had come back from Spain, my father had a heart attack, and then I think he had another heart attack, and I moved back to Tampa. But the disease is progressing. But I hadn't lost anything. By the time I got to AA, I had not had a DUI. I never lost a job. I always quit right before they fired me. I mean, you know, 3 years was about it. I could do about 3 years. Never had any long-term relationship, maybe 5 years. I just could not. If anyone ever said anything about my drinking, that was it. I mean, you just did not talk to me about my drinking. I felt like I worked hard, So I played hard, and I was entitled to drink and do whatever I wanted to do. And I did, with impunity. So I came back here, and I decided to, I bought a house here. I don't know. I bought a house and didn't have a job. It took me years to figure that out, of how did I do that? And the people who owned the house held the note, but it took me a long time to figure. I said, well, how did I buy that house? Because later on I did buy a lot of houses sober. But so I did various things. I had neighbors. I used to call it the combat zone, the neighborhood. But I had neighbors who had like a lawn business and other businesses. And I did some work for them. They called it the cult. They had very strange people. But they also dealt in pharmaceuticals stuff. And this one old drinking buddy of mine showed up at my house. And I heard that she was in something called AA. And but she was different. She looked better. She looked good. She'd put on weight. That was interesting. And she was telling me about Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was like, what are you talking about? And she was trying to beat going to jail, is what it came down to. I mean, it didn't take me too long to figure it out. And she wanted, at the time, I had a couple of apartments that I rented out, and she wanted to rent one. And I said, well, you owe me money from last time you rented, so you pay me that money, and we'll talk about it. So she moved in, and kept talking this AA stuff. And she'd be talking to me, and I'd be drinking away, you know. And this was 1989. So once in a while, she'd drink with me. And I'd go, you know, I thought that you had to not drink anymore. And she's like, no, you just go up to Pasco County and go to White Chip. And I went, oh, okay. I was clueless. Or I'd be in a bar, and I'd have friends, you know, who were in AA, and they'd say, get me a drink. And I went, I thought, and they'd go, just get me the drink. And so I had some weird, you know, ideas going on with AA. And but at one point, I had worked as a crisis counselor for about a year and a half. And I remember one time we had a guy come in. If you were suicide, you know, we were psych, we dealt with the psych people, but once in a while we get the suicide people. That's considered a psych problem. This guy had shot himself in the neck, but he'd missed everything. But he was drunk when he did it. And so it's like a Sunday morning, and this guy shows up like in a suit and tie and to see this guy. I mean, this guy thinks he's leaving him. No, we've got you. You know, you're Baker Active. So it's his sponsor. And that was really the first, I was just like, that's really kind of neat. And he seemed very kind to him. I mean, this guy was like nuts. And I loved working at the crisis center because I had a key. I could leave. I was the normal one. You know, something's wrong with you. I'm fine. And I worked the second shift. And half the time I was late. I couldn't be to work at, you know, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever time. And then we'd go out drinking, of course, afterwards. And periodically ran into patients. That was really scary. You know, you'd Baker Act them, and all of a sudden they're out there dancing, and you're like, oh, Lord. But in a slightly manic state. But. So I'm working downtown at a yoga. I'm running a yoga joint in downtown Tampa. Don't ask me. I mean, I'm serious. People would offer me jobs. I mean, they would just say, yeah, I was like, okay. My life seemed like it seemed like a good idea at the time. You know, okay, I'll go run a yoga joint. I told her, I said, I couldn't believe the amount of money that we were taking in. And I knew she was skimming. I mean, she would say, you know, if it's not, you know, if it's not $5,000, don't send it. So I'm FedExing like $5,000 a week. Ooh, cash. And I'm like, took me a while to figure it out. And it was like $5,000 for her. And I put a little in my pocket, too. It's all cash. But then when the IRS showed up, I was like, woo, on the phone. She's up in Massachusetts. I went, no, I'm not taking the bullet for this one. But so she fires me. I end up getting fired from the job. And she's renting, and this is what's crazy, she's renting an apartment from me. And my old drinking buddy, who's been trying to 12-step me, she's over egging me on. I said, I'm going to shoot her, you know. And I began to be a little obsessed about this. And In the meantime, a friend of mine had gone out of, he'd gone to South Africa, and I went and sat in, you know, house sat over in St. Pete. And my birthday is in September, my belly button birthday. And I was so drunk, I could not, I mean, it was like 10 minutes from the beach, I could not get to the beach. And I drank everything in his house. And that was the first time in my entire life that I realized I could not stop. And that was just like, whoa. And I picked him up at the airport, and we went to a bar. I remember this. We went to a bar. It was a Sunday night. And I think I had 3 beers. And I was just, I can remember the lottery. It was like it's some huge amount. And I remember driving across the Gandy Bridge thinking, you know, if I won the lottery, I'd quit drinking and quit smoking. You know, it's just like, what is this thought? And what I felt like I was on the edge of an abyss, and I was just going to fall in it. And it was just, I was so crazy. I guess crazy would be the word. Crazy would have been nice, but I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. I couldn't talk it out. I mean, I had been angry for so long. A friend of mine said, "You have become your anger." And I was like, "And what's wrong with that?" You know, people don't like to be around you or talk to you. I'm like, okay, that's their problem. So I come back from St. Pete, and this friend of mine, she had taken me to a meeting that summer sometime in her, to hear her speaker, her sponsor speak in Brandon. And the seed was really planted then. But I was like, I can't imagine anyone standing up at the podium and telling that kind of stuff about yourself. Ugh. But, I mean, I drank immediately after. I said, take me to 7-Eleven. I need a beer after that story. But so I asked her, I said, take me to a meeting. And I don't think the meeting, I know the meeting's not around anymore. It's the old Sulphur Springs group. She took me there on a Monday night, obviously September 17th. And I picked up a white chip. And a lot of old-timers there. There were old-timers and Al-Anons there. I have not seen that since. There were a few Al-Anons in there. And I remember an old man saying to me, I would never have to drink again. And I just could not understand. There were a couple of younger women there who were going to USF. And they basically, you know, told their story. And they were crying. And I was just like, my God. These people are very strange. But, I never thought they would recognize that I was a newcomer. And you know, when they say any newcomers, raise your hand, you know, I'm like, that friend of mine, so I'm like, I'm on it. And so when they did the chips, which is like, I swear, you know, we speak a different language. And if you're new in the program, they're all these chips, you know, are they, you know, your lips are moving. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? So she said, go get a white chip. And I picked up a white chip, and I have not drank since. And it's been an incredible ride for me. I was very angry, as I said. I had very limited vocabulary, and they usually started with F, and I didn't like anybody, and I let everybody in the rooms know that I didn't like them. Can we just say a name? And some woman volunteered to be my sponsor. It was just, boy, that was a ride. And but I was ready. It was like the dam broke, and I like called her every day, and I just could barely function. I remember I had this huge dog. I had this lab chow that would just kill anybody. And I said to her, I asked her one time, it stumped her. I finally got her on. I said, when I take him for a walk, what if somebody attacks him? What should I do? I have my, you know, my Coke and my cigarettes and all this, and I don't have another hand. She said, and there's this long pause. And I said, should I shoot the dog, the other dog? And she said, no, Don, I think some people take sticks or something. But it was like, I could not, the thinking was really not good at all. You know, and it was, everything was just real black and white. And she did not, you know, they say we have these suggestions. No, no, no. It was, you will do this. And I'm like, you? And then I'd slam the phone down. And then I pick it up and call her back, and she goes, I love you too. Drove me crazy. But she took me through the steps and did the steps right out of the big book. She told me what meetings to go to. And I thought, I mean, the weirdest things I thought were neat. They used to do, I don't know if they do anymore, they used to have a speaker meeting at YANA on Sundays, and they had breakfast, and I think it was like $3. And I was like, food? You know, I discovered food once I got sober. And eat? Yes. I thought that was just really great. And I found all these people I knew from the bars that were in AA, and they weren't drinking. And I was like, wow. You know. And I remember I got sober in September, and there was a New Year's Eve dance. And New Year's Eve fell on my home group night, so I showed up at the home group in like a pair of jeans and stuff. And there was one lady there like in a gown, you know, and she was going to the dance. And I like, she said, why don't you go? And I was like, to a dance? Oh, God. I used to think I could dance really well, and I got sober, and I was just like, whoa, two left feet. I don't know. When I drank, it was like, okay, three beers, you can shoot pool. You know, like four or five beers, you can dance. And then after that, you know, I was gone. And it was always, I'm just going to stop for a couple of beers at the bar. And it, you know, then it was 3 o'clock in the morning. But, so I came in and just, the friend at 12 set me, I got a sponsor. I got a home group. That meeting where I picked up my white chip became my home group. But it was just real. I remember saying to her, of course I had to read the big book cover to cover in the 12. I said 12 by 12 for months, and no one would correct me. I do say 12 by 12, and they'd go, yeah, Donna, keep coming back. And it was, finally I read it, it was 12 and 12, not 12, whatever. But so she took me to the meeting, she introduced me to people, and then she went back out. I was probably at 6 months, maybe 6 months sober, maybe three. And I called my sponsor. I said, it's not fair. I'm going to all these stupid meetings and bit, 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 bit. And she said, just wait. And the next thing I know, this probation officer is showing up looking for her. And she tries to tell me the cops are out to get me. They were following me. And I said, you are so full of it. You were drunk. You were driving, and they got you for a DUI. That's what happened. So, needless to say, she didn't go to meetings with me anymore. But I stayed sober, and I stayed angry for a long time. I do not recommend that. And thank God for the men in AA, because the women were terrified of me, and I liked it. I mean, I had one sponsor tell me, Donna, we were afraid you're going to rip our throats out. And I was like, I wasn't that bad. And she was like, yeah, you were. I was like, oh, okay. And then my sponsor said, you have to go to a women's meeting. I said, I don't want to go to a women's meeting. I don't like them. I don't like any of them. You know, they just smile and say, keep coming back. I'm going, okay, I will. So I ended up going to the Friday morning, 10:30, a women's meeting here on the Bayshore. And I would say things like, well, if I drove a Mercedes-Benz and lived on the Bayshore, I could get sober too. And they would sit there and go, keep coming back. Oh, yeah, okay. So I tried everything, and I eventually became very close with some of those women, and they helped me a great deal, not only in my sobriety, but in my social skills. Oh, God. I think back on that with fond memories. We had a nun there. Oh, Lord, and I didn't care what I said or how I said it, but it was funny. But one lady there, I remember she used to give people rides, and she's dead now. I'm probably going to say her name. Mary Cornelia was her name. And I used to really think, well, she was such a lady, just such a really nice lady. And we always would go to eat at Morrison's. And finally I said, why do we go eat at Morrison's? You know, this is boring. Why don't we go? She said, Donna, because everyone can afford to eat at Morrison's. I was like, well, isn't that nice? Okay. Okay. And I said, you know, and I had a really close friend. Well, she was like, I call her the treatment center queen, but she came in and she was like a year ahead of me, and I had no opinion. I was non-judgmental. Well, she sold Mary Kay, and she, you know how they dress, everything's color coordinate, you know, everything matches, whatever. And I would just go, wow. I mean, the purse, the shoe, she said, Donna's called it accessorized. And I was just like, this is how you end up with strange people in AA. But she called me one night. She was a little over a year sober, and she called me one night, and she was going to drink. And I said, I'll meet you. We met had for coffee, and from then on, we were friends. I mean, there is a bond that happens when, if you're willing to reach out. And we just became the best buddies. Talk about the odd couple. I was driving an F Ford 150 pickup truck. And we would just go all tootling all over town. And it was just really great. She had some other, she had food. Remember, she would go and order, we'd go to Morrison's, and she'd order the same thing. Well, I ordered the same thing. She always got liver and onions and potatoes and whatever. And she said, I said, why do you order the same thing? And she said, you order the same thing. Well, I found out later, you know, it was not only alcohol, but it was, you know, food and drugs and all the other stuff, but she never discussed that. But so we're like a motley crew that end up here. But I mean, I was trying to tell that story about Mary Cornelia. Later on, Mary Cornelia became ill, and I got, it was really the pleasure or the honor of going to pick her up and taking her to meetings. And that's where I think for me, they really taught me how to be a human being in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I got involved in service. This is one thing I like about this meeting. You guys are so, I mean, you know, you're so involved in service. And I think it's so important. I did not, when I came in here, I remember the first time I heard a speaker say, in order to keep it, you have to give it away. I was like, are you kidding me? I have worked so hard, all these stupid steps, and I've done my fifth thing and all this stuff. I don't want to give it away. And I was always surprised. Okay. I don't like that. She's flashing numbers at me. I was always surprised when people asked me to sponsor them. I just, you know, because I'm not an easy sponsor. My sponsor was not easy with me. I remember when we did the fourth step, I tried to do the little Hazleton little checklist. Nope. And then we did, you know, we got on our knees and did the third step prayer. And I did the fourth step right out of the book. But service work. I think I ended up doing archives. I remember I showed up at a quarterly. I didn't know what a quarterly was. I thought there might be quarters there. It was just, they said it doesn't cost anything. So I said, oh, okay, I'll go to the quarterly. And I think I sat there, I don't know, I could have been a GSR. I don't know. I mean, it was things didn't clear up real fast for me. And then, but one thing she did for me, she was that first sponsor. She went to conventions, she went to roundups, was like really involved in that. And so I've done that since I got sober. I always like to go to roundups, I like state conventions. And I really was lucky I got to go to the International in San Antonio. Yes, all those 50,000 alcoholics, loved it. But in that service, and I think I did archives for a while, I just kind of floated in and out of the service. And then sometimes... always had a home group, always had a sponsor. My first sponsor, I don't recommend this, my first sponsor fired me because of my anger management issues. And my last sponsor fired me for anger management issues, and I thought I've gotten a lot better. But so I proceeded to go, luckily a friend told me you should not be speaking at meetings if you don't have a sponsor. So I got a sponsor, and I went through about five sponsors because I figured if they can fire me, I can fire them. I don't recommend that either. I was just really, I don't do well with authority. But the thing is, if you tell me, I will do it. But I needed strong sponsorship. God. And I had one sponsor. I finally told her, I said, you were just too nice. You know, she was one of the South Side, like, social director, like, super mom kind of thing. I was like, ugh, you know. And I would go, and she sponsored half of South Tampa, I think. She's over in St. Pete now, but I would go, you know, she always had parties, and I would go there. And I would just, I can remember this, when I would go into a social situation, I would get so nervous, and I would just start knocking them down. Well... she had this party here at the beach one time, and I'm like there, and I'm just like just crawling out of my skin. And she said, Donna, you know everyone here. I said, I know, but I don't like them. I'm not comfortable with them. I'm not comfortable with me. And I can't drink anymore, so what the hell do I do with myself? So I'm smoking away. I'm smoking and drinking Coca-Cola. And I don't know how y'all do it now. I mean, when I came in, you could smoke in the rooms. And it was like, I mean, I remember going to the club and there was just like a cloud in there about, right? You didn't have to, you could just inhale. You didn't have to buy any cigarettes. But then I remember the first they voted, I was in a meeting and they voted to make it non-smoking. So I stood up and told them what they could do with their meeting and walked out, like, you know. And my sponsor made me go back and apologize. That was another issue. I'm working at a Hallmark card shop. My first 3 years of sobriety. This is God's sense of humor. My God has one sense of humor. And I'm working on the south side of Tampa also. And I told the manager I was in the program. Oh, don't ever do that. And so every time somebody walked in and said hi to me, she said, "Is that your sponsor?" Oh, no. So I told everyone, don't say hello. Do not, you know, don't say hello to me ever. Ignore me. But, I mean, in the beginning, I mean, as crazy as I was, as angry as I was, it was almost like I was like evangelical AA. I mean, I just wrapped hold of AA, and I listened, and I really got connected with a lot of old-timers. I was real drawn to people with a lot of sobriety. I still am. And, like I said, about 9 years, I went to work. It'll be 20 years. I'm getting ready to go part-time. I've been 20 years with the same corporation. I couldn't keep a job for 3 years. That's a miracle. I've been with them for 20 years. And about 9-10 years ago, I moved to Lakeland because I was commuting for a couple of years. And I bought a house over there. But when I moved over there, I had a contact person, and a couple of the guys, Craig DeLoach and Jimmy Marino, took me over and introduced me to the Lakeland ladies. And we're talking some heavy hitters. My women with like 53 years of sobriety and 40, you know, I'm like, yeah, who cares? But I got hooked up with them, and I fell in love with Lakeland. I fell in love with the sobriety over there. They're really... I don't know, in an hour you can get a group of women together to go to a meeting and go out to eat, and it's a lot more fellowship. But it's been a really interesting journey for me, because I don't think I would have ever chosen a spiritual way of life. I was not a religious person. I mean, I was raised an Episcopalian, but I think about 16 I turned away from all of that stuff. And for me, the last few years I've become more and more spiritual. It kind of scares me sometimes. And that I want to give back. I find myself in wanting to sponsor. And it was interesting because we sent a couple of ours over here from Lakeland. They go to school. And that's been funny. I never wanted to have children. I didn't like children. I didn't like children when I was a child. It's like I didn't like drunks when I drank. I don't know. But it's been really interesting being around young people in AA and watching them grow and stay sober. And it's really interesting. I just can't imagine what your lives will be like if you stay sober. I mean, to me, it's like the sky's the limit. I mean, to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous in their 20s. You know, I was 46 when I got here. And not well. But I'm not much better some days. I mean, some days I have to say, you know, if you say that, would you want them to know that you're an Alcoholics Anonymous? And if the answer is no, then I probably should keep my mouth shut. I still have a lot of trouble with restraint of pen and tongue, but it's a great way. This has become a way of life for me. I'm not going to be able to go the full time here. And the giving back, I've really begun to want to do that, to sponsor people, to take people through the steps, to you know, go to conventions, go to roundups, whatever, to be available to help people, to give to them what was so freely given to me. So, thank you.